Developers like Garland Properties are eyeing Northwest Roanoke for redevelopment and real estate ventures these days. And some residents in that largely African-American quadrant of the city don't seem to like it, wary of outsiders, especially it seems if they are not minority developers. John Garland is a member of Roanoke City Council as well as a developer. On WFIR recently, he spoke about the building at 11th Street and Mormon Avenue Northwest he has purchased and is renovating for mixed use. It's created a firestorm, but Roanoke Mayor Sherman Lee says all parties should come together to make Northwest a better place. Here they both are, back to back.
Roanoke had the history of having urban development, redevelopment back in the 60s. I remember that because I was alive then, and certainly a lot of people in Northwest remember that as well, and that was not a good thing.
And what I'm asking everybody to have their minds and hearts open to do that. You've got to be willing to talk. You got to want to come to the table. And I think that's what happened. Stop building walls. Let's build bridges.
Northwest Roanoke activist and former city council candidate Martin Jeffrey joins WFIR anchor reporter Gene Moreno and me this morning talking about development in Northwest and who has the right to be there. And Martin, good morning. We appreciate you coming by this morning. Good to see you.
All right, good to see you all, too. Good to be here.
Yes, sir. Now, Martin, first off, you filed a citizen's complaint form with the state police asking them to investigate council members John Garland and Michelle Dykstra for undermining community interests, using city staff for their own personal gain, and misleading other council members on the Villa Heights Recreation Center mansion in Northwest that will now be renovated for the Boys and Girls Club, where Michelle Dykstra is the executive director. So, Martin, what's the status right now as we get started of that complaint?
Well, I talked with the state police on yesterday, and we have a sit-down detailed discussion about the complaint on next week, which is part of their process, the next part of their process.
Sure. Okay, so they haven't rejected it, Martin, or just said they're going to investigate?
No, right now they're collecting information, some more from that I'm forwarded to them, as well as some additional emails that we anticipate from a FOIA request that we have at the city.
Okay, that's another question. But Michelle Dykstra said at a council meeting before the deal was finalized, Martin, that other groups could have come forward to bid on the Villa Heights property as far as using it. Is it possible, Martin, and we've talked a little bit about this, that the Boys and Girls Club bid was just the best one? I mean, that after-school center will serve a largely minority clientele.
Okay, I want to be real clear. I want to be respectful, but I want to be real clear. People are talking about these things, and they're not being forthcoming. They're saying what they want, their narrative that they want out there. Northwest doesn't want development, or nobody else came forward. Well, that just simply is not accurate.
And what is accurate?
What is accurate is over the last few years, there's been more than one, multiple proposals put forth by viable African-American interests. And it's, okay, I'm sorry that this comes down to black or white, because it shouldn't. This is about whether or not the city has spent a lot of money and energy putting together neighborhood development plans. In three conversations with Councilman Garland, for example, he has not even read the neighborhood development plan for either Melrose Rugby, where his building is that he bought, or Gainesboro, where he's recently bought a significant piece of property and is after some more. These council people are not being forthcoming or responsive, for that matter. The mayor wants conversation, but when I went to council on two separate occasions, including with the emails that show that the councilman Garland had been engaging in this inappropriate behavior, six weeks later, I have gotten no response.
Are you talking about the emails where he questioned whether or not about the Hope Center?
The emails where he used staff people to come against a property that he had interest in acquiring.
The Hope Center.
The Hope Center, and there's other properties along the 11th Street corridor that he also did the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate during this conversation.
That's fine.
We're talking with Martin Jeffrey, mm-hmm. and who I've known for a long time. You know, basically the emails, and you sent me a copy of it, and John Garland seen it, where basically John was questioning whether or not the Hope Center, which at one point he had some interest in, and he even did the design work for the door to go to the cafe, whether they had all the permitting in place and everything to get them up to date to have after school programs there. Mm-hmm. He told me it was before because of his concern for the kids in the program, which is the same thing Sherman Lee, Mayor Lee, told me, was that they have the right to make sure that everything's in place. So why can't that be the reason?
This is the way And unfortunately, this is what gives politicians a bad name, because they give you pieces of information, which sounds perfect, sounds right. Of course, the city has a right and an obligation to do due diligence around zoning and code enforcement and all those things. What Councilman Garland doesn't say is that he trolled around the Hope Center for months before he became councilman, and a year after he became councilman, he never once raised these issues in terms of the city staff up until two things happened. One, he purchased the building. And then two.
Which building?
The building on 11th Street.
11th and Moore.
Adjacent.
Right. Right.
Or across the street, kind of catacomb, from a couple of properties that he has since asked owners about wanting to buy. And then another thing that happened, significant thing that happened, that is reflected in the emails, and that is one of those principals at the nonprofit railed against the councilman in a Facebook post. And the councilman makes reference to that in the emails. Not only that, the councilman insisted this was about the city business, but he copied his business interests on multiple occasions using city emails on at least one of those occasions. So there's more going on here. And my thing is, as a citizen, and I think we all have an obligation as a citizen, if we see something that concerns us, we need to speak out. All of us have every right to do this. There's a process in place for this. I went to council as a taxpayer, citizen, and resident in Gainesboro, and I said, look at this. What is going on here, and what do you want to do about this? What are you going to do about this? I've got no response. The city manager has copies. Every member of council has copies. The city attorney has copies. No response. It wasn't until after 4 weeks of silence that I reached out to the state police. And nobody, they don't want to talk about this, clearly, unless they're able to say what they think, what they want everybody to understand. But they leave out key pieces of information.
We're talking with Martin Jeffrey. What do you think they want people to understand? Go ahead.
Well, they want people to understand, as Councilwoman Dykstra supposed, and that is that they're doing everything perfect and everything's wonderful and everybody on council is above board and the highest integrity. And first of all, we know enough in America to know that that's not accurate about any body of government, because they're made up of people who with flaws and fallacies. So that's what they want this to be, and Northwest doesn't want development, which is just ridiculous on its face.
Right, I understand that, and if you've seen some of the posts on Facebook and the Peacemakers page and whatever, it does seem like, Martin, that this whole thing with the John Garland property at 11th Street, and which he first entered into at the suggestion, supposedly, of Sean Hunter, that has drawn a lot of animosity, and I've seen a lot of us versus them on the page. Let me talk about that property, which John Garland says he wants to turn into a mini collab, a shop or a workspace, and several affordable apartments. He says he has gotten positive feedback from some local residents, and I've looked through the Gainesboro neighborhood plan. It doesn't seem to me that it really violates the plan, although the plan does talk for input from local residents.
But that's the critical point.
Right.
And it's
but it's not a prerequisite.
No, yes, it is. The whole intent of the neighborhood plans were to empower neighborhoods. The same, and this is not just about Northwest. This is about Grandin Road and what happened with the caretaker's house at Fishburn Park and what's going on with this horrific encroachment onto this wooded area behind the Shenandoah Life Building. It's about the city trying to sell part of Fallon Park to developers without talking to the neighborhoods. It's about Councilman Garland buying a significant piece of property in Gainesboro, coming to the neighborhood meeting, and even when that property came up, he still did not disclose that he had purchased it. I had to bring that up. Even after that property specifically became a part of discussion, he sat there and would not disclose it. This is about, look, six people on council either are realtors, they either have real estate they are real estate investors, or they're real estate developers. Six of the sitting council people. That should explain why the citizens and the neighborhood development plans are not getting the kind of respect and deference that they deserve, which the city insisted they would get when they went through all that energy to get it.
And I know
you put them together.
I know you've gotten a lot of pushback at meetings from council members, and I've talked to Mayor Lee, and he says, Martin, that John Garland and the other people on council, that they've cleared the conflict of interest hurdles, and they do recuse themselves from votes when they want to.
Let me just for Novella Heights, for example, just to give you an insight of what I'm talking about. So Councilwoman Dykstra, as she should have, she recused herself from the vote itself, right? I'm not so sure that she recused herself from the discussions around this. Noel Taylor told me. Everybody loves Noel Taylor. I really enjoyed my conversations with him.
The former Roanoke City mayor.
Yeah, the former Roanoke City mayor said to me one day, he said, Brother Jeffries, I love that phrase, Brother Jeffries, this is how we do it. Before council meeting, we get together in the room behind council or before council, and we decide what the votes are going to be because we want to know how people are going to vote. We don't want to get sidewinded in the meetings, and we want to put together a unified front. The reality of how this works is those discussions are taking place. There are the significant discussions that determine the votes before council. And I guarantee you, Councilwoman Dykstra was part of those conversations. So unless she's recusing herself from every discussion about it, that's not a real recusal. And we now find out there were at least three viable proposals for that plan. For that site.
But is it possible that the Boys and Girls Club was the best one?
No,
and
it's not.
It didn't depend on
Michelle
Dykstra.
And I'll tell you why it's not. And it's not. I'll tell you why it's not for a couple of reasons. One is that property comes with $250,000 of insurance money
due to a fire.
Due to a fire. So in some ways, we're talking about public monies. What is the best use of public monies? It's not reinventing the wheel all over the city. That's not what the best use of property. The best use of public money is Northwest, for example, because we're talking about Northwest with regard to this property, their interest inside that community, galvanizing, getting together, and doing the work of what the concerns of Boys and Girls Club are. There are right in within a stone's throw of that property, there are at least four nonprofits already doing the work of Boys and Girls Club in Northwest. There's Noel Taylor, the anchor of Hope Community Center, which is literally blocks away from this property. That's part of their mandate.
Do they have the ability to raise money and to be sustaining, Martin? Like a Boys and Girls Club, which is well known.
Well, the anchor of Hope has been around since Taylor was a mayor. That community center is a very viable center. There's the cafe that is owned by the Kingdom Life Ministries down on Cove Road, right at the bend. Again, not even a mile away from this property, doing the work of after school. There is Miss Whitworth, who owns the Tribune, has a place over on Melrose, the Hope Center. There are at least a half a dozen organizations within the immediate area already doing that work. We don't need to replicate what's already being done. Now, another thing, if the city wants to give $250,000 to those organizations for the work they've been doing for years, proven work, then that's a better use of public funds, in my opinion, not creating some whole other construct in order to do that.
We're talking with Martin Jeffrey, Northwest activist. Martin, I we're running out of time, but in 15, 20 seconds, is there a way to get over this and the way to heal?
We start with the neighborhood development plans, whether it's Grandin Road, whether it's Fallon Park, whether it's Gainsborough. The city council of all people ought to start with the neighborhood development plans and getting the requisite input from the citizens in those neighborhoods. Just because you have a bright idea don't mean you get to come and push it down people's throats.
All right, this conversation will continue. Martin Jeffrey, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks. And they could ask the state police to investigate so we all know what the facts are. Thank you.